Blog Talk Radio.
I like the focus of the songs of the old church. Because they would say songs like, "What do you want the Lord to say?
What do you want the Lord to say? Want to
hear him say, well,
everybody, what do you want the Lord to say? I tell you, I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. We are here, and we're still talking on our foundation series. We're getting close to the end of it, but it has been a blessed journey. And I tell you, it's been awesome to hear the word of God and go back to the foundation and build up our most holy faith. With the word of God, it has just been awesome. I thank God for all the awesome teachers that have been on this broadcast. We're getting ready to celebrate 1 year coming up in this at the end of this month, and I'm just so excited because we've done what the Lord has told us to do, and we're going to keep on this journey. It's such a blessing to keep moving in what God has told you to do and what you feel like you've purposed to do. So I'm so excited about that. We have an awesome teacher on the line today. He's finishing up regeneration, so we thank the Lord for him and have our awesome co-host on the line, Elder Ransom Dodson, and I'm going to ask him to pray and open us up, and then we're going to turn it over to Elder Poston.
Bless the Lord, everyone. I shall call on the Lord, and he shall hear what we have to say. Bow your heads, everyone. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you and we praise you, and we ask you, O Lord, to open up our ears of understanding and open up our hearts to receive the word that we're about to hear tonight. Bless those that teach. Bless those that are studious enough to hear. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Amen. Well, we thank the Lord for his opportunity to be here, to go a little further in the Word of God when we're talking about the subject of regeneration. I know the last time we had a broadcast, we had a little few technical difficulties, so I'm going to backtrack a little bit just to make sure we haven't missed anything. And I tell you, the more I dig, the more there is to be dug into. And the Word of God is just full, and I'm glad about it. But we're talking about regeneration, and we're in the third part of this. But just to review a little bit, one of the questions that was asked in the last time we were together, was how can I be regenerated or born again? And I want to go to John, St. John chapter 3, and we're going to start at verse 1. Okay, I'm going to do some extensive reading, so just bear with me. John chapter 3, verse 1, and it starts the same. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a good teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. For Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? I'm going to pause right here for a second. Because one of the reasons why Jesus is making that comment to Nicodemus, if you do any kind of historical search on Nicodemus, it was a well-known factor and assumption that Nicodemus was trained. He was a wealthy man. And he was a part of the Sanhedrin. And being a part of that, he was also a descendant of Abraham. He was well-educated, well-taught, and well-versed in the Old Testament law and the tradition of the Old Testament. So that's why God, Jesus is asking him, you know, art thou a master of Israel and thou and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen. And ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven, verse 14, and as Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved, exposed, shown. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Amen. Can you still hear me? I want to make sure we ain't lost the collection, the connection. You out there?
Yes, we hear you.
Amen. Amen. It says, what did Nicodemus know about the kingdom? And I just said this. From the Bible, he knew it was incorporated God's people. Jesus revealed to Nicodemus that the kingdom would come to the world, come to the whole world, not just the Jews, and that we would not be a part of it unless we were born again or regenerated. When Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. He not, could not, wait a minute. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God could be interpreted as the contrast between physical birth and spiritual birth, or being regenerated by the Spirit and demonstrating that rebirth by Christian baptism, the water and the Spirit. The water could also represent the cleansing of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, let's go to Titus. And, you know, you, and let me digress for a second. Those of you who preach and teach, you know, you have these notes and these lessons and these outlines, and you try to follow them, but often you just begin to flow in the spirit and allow God to bring things to your mind. So bear with me. I'm not lost. I know what we're talking about, and I know where God is taking us. So if you hang in there, it all makes sense. Amen. Titus, I want to go to Titus 3, and we're going to start at verse 5. I'll give you a second to get there. Titus 3, verse 5, and we're going to go down through to verse 7. Okay. And it reads, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." Verse 4, "But after that the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which is his shed, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Now we're introduced to this washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. So the beginning of the lesson, the question was, how do I become regenerated, or is regeneration absolutely necessary? And being regenerated is absolutely necessary. And I hope that you can understand that when we talk about regeneration, we're talking about being generated again. And so when God, when we were first born in our physical state, that's our first birth. We live and we inherit our sin nature from our father Adam. So now that we are in our natural state, there has to be a rebirth. Regeneration refers to, if you do your study in the Bible, it talks about being reborn, born again, rebirth. That's what regeneration refers to, and it's consistent across all the texts that I've studied in the meaning of regeneration. So it means to be born again. A more common term would be, in for those of us, today would be being saved. You got to be saved. You got to be born again. You got to be regenerated. Why is that necessary? Because of the inherent sinful nature that we got through our natural birth. Now, because of the fall in the garden, it takes something to get us back to the place where we are born of God's Spirit. Now, if you look into John 4 and 24, we're talking about our spirit being born or becoming alive. John 4 and 24 says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So we know God is a spirit. We understand our natural birth. We came from the descendant of Adam and inherited that sin nature. So the regeneration of being reborn, being saved, is a spiritual birth. Now, we have to have this spiritual birth because God is a spirit. And if we're going to worship God, we have to worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, we can't worship him in spirit if our spirit is not alive or have been born. So if you look at Genesis, the Lord gave me this, and I'm like, wow, you know, it's clear to me. I hope that the Lord reveals everything the way he gave it to me, to all of you, so it makes sense. So we're talking about our spirits being born, which is what causes us to be regenerated. Not our physical birth, but our spiritual birth. And we just said, and we read in John 4 and 24, that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So if we're going to worship God, we have to worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, look at this. I thought this was interesting. When we're talking about being born, being spiritually born, Genesis 2 and 7 says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." Let's stop right there. Now, at that point, man is made in the natural. All the organs, ligaments, tendons, fingers, toes, brain, all of the God-made informed man from the dust of the ground. It's all there. So physically, Adam was made. Adam was generated at that point, physically. But look, it says, "And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." Now, if God is a spirit and he's breathing into the nostrils life, he's breathing spirit into Adam. And so then now Adam becomes a living soul. Amen? So then somebody says, "Well, wait a minute, that was before the fall." Right. That was before the fall. So that takes us right on back into what we're talking about, being regenerated. My point with that is to point out to you that it's absolutely necessary to have a spiritual birth. We can be born physically, but we have to have a spiritual birth. And what the Lord showed me in that was that everything was there in the natural, but Adam lacked the spiritual birth. And even though they fail later on in chapter 3, this is what God has given me to show that we can be born physically and have everything we need to function, but we're yet dead. I believe somebody said it last week, it's like the living dead, the walking living dead. We're zombies because we haven't had a spiritual birth. So we have to have that spiritual birth and be regenerated so that we can do what, as John said, then we can worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, I tell you, this is just one vein that you can explore when you study regeneration, because there is so much there, but it all connects when you put it together. So, amen, let's go a little further. So when we talk about, we already know this, it's a necessity. Even if we just go on the scripture we just read, it's a necessity for us to be regenerated. You've got to be regenerated. If you ever hope to worship or praise God, you got to be regenerated because you got to be spiritual. You've got to become spiritually alive. So then some would say, well, there are a lot of people that are powerful or rich or well-educated. And we even see that in the church today. We have people that come who are celebrities, and they have a good income, and they make a lot of money. And there's pastors that say, oh, you know, it would be great to have that person to be a member of our church because of the tithe that they can bring, the money that they can bring to the church, the connections that I might be able to have with people outside to maybe grow the church or become more popular. These are good people, but the church doesn't need good people. The church needs regenerated people. And all of your education, your good works, all of your knowledge, you can be astute and studious, is not going to be enough to get you to inherit the kingdom of God. How do I know? Jesus said it to Nicodemus. You must be born again. So today, when we see people come and some of us have that mindset, oh, if they would join our church. No. God is not looking for good people. God is looking for regenerated people, people who are born spiritually new. And that is something that God gives us as a gift. Let's go to John 1, chapter 1. And let's look at verse 12 and 13. Now, regeneration is not a man or a physical work, anything that we can do in the physical to become regenerated. Regeneration is totally and solely a work of God, a gift of God that he's given to us. So if we look at John 1, 12 to 13, it says, "But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but God. I hope you see that. It wasn't that they became sons of God by the will of the blood or the will of the flesh or man's will, but by God's will and God's gift that he gave to us. Look at Ezekiel 36. That's Ezekiel chapter 36. Okay. If we was in church, they'd say, and if you have, say amen. So I got it, amen. Ezekiel chapter 36, we're going to start at verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness. And from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. Let me read that again. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. God does the work. He does the work by the Holy Ghost, which he gives us, which regenerates us. The old things are passed away, and all things become new. If you look at 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's the new birth, the spiritual birth. And in that birthing, you then begin to start the process of walking out your spiritual destiny and your spiritual call in Christ. But when God gives us the Holy Spirit, that is what we used to say, that is the keeping power to keep you committed to the confession that you've made. When you gave your life over to God and you asked him to be the Lord of your life, then you sought out for that spiritual birth or regeneration, and God began to fill you with his spirit. That spirit gives you the power to stick and hold firm to the commitment that you've made in giving your life to Christ. So is regeneration necessary? Absolutely. Absolutely necessary. Amen. Does anybody have any comments at this point? Any questions?
Some good word, Elder. Keep going. Good word. Thank you.
Thank the Lord. You know, and I was in further study, the Lord also brought to my attention when we talk about regeneration or being saved, being born again. You know, we talk about Nicodemus. A lot of people preach from that particular text. But in Matthew, it's a similar situation. If we look at Matthew chapter 19, and I'll start Matthew chapter 19. Let's start at verse 16. And it reads, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now, that's interesting if we take it step by step, that you come to a place where you know or desire eternal life. Know you need it or desire it. So you go to a source, you believe a source, which is Jesus, and you ask, you know, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And verse 17 says, and he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Now, let me go back for a second in verse 16, because the guy is asking, what good thing shall I do? Really ain't no good thing you can do. We just talked about that. The only good thing you can do, if you want to call that good, is to ask God to come into your heart and be your Lord and your Savior. Repent and admit that you are sinful and good for nothing apart from God. Now that, if you want to say good thing, that's the good thing you could do, interestingly enough. And Jesus telling him, hey, why do you call me good? You're trying to get eternal life. There's none good but God the Father. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. This is us. This is how we reason it in our mind. He said unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. This is what we say, the good things that we do, we kind of come to ourselves and our flesh and within our own power. Verse 20, the young man saith unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lacketh I? What lack I yet? You've done all of that, but you're still lacking something. You've been born physically. You walked through your life. You've done what you needed to do to obtain physical knowledge, physical wealth, physical health, exercise, eating right, all of that kind of stuff in the natural, but it can't get you eternal life. And you kept the Ten Commandments. I honor my mother and father. I'm not lying. I'm not whoremongering. I'm not doing none of this, you know, all of this stuff. What can I do? Or what lack I? Jesus said unto him, if you look at verse 21, if thou will be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, that's sad to me. But that's the state that some of us are in. Yes. Yes.
Trisha, you're talking, and I've been thinking about this whole, you know, you look at TV, everybody talking about grace, this and grace, that, and God's grace is sufficient, and God's grace is what takes us. But we don't really get down to the meat of the grace. We just say it, but we got to realize that God's grace is the thing that's going to change us, and we do, and it will regenerate us and make us clean so that we can walk upright. You know, this man said, what else can I do? You got to be born again. It's got to be, like you said, you got to confess that you need him. That's what we can do, and confess that we can't do nothing without him. But so many people want to jump on the grace bandwagon, and I think that it's kind of going over their head, but we have to be regenerated. I just think they think, oh, yes, God is good. It doesn't matter what I do. He'll forgive me, and that's true. But we have to get into the regeneration portion of this so we can walk in the grace. Am I correct? In the newness of life.
Right, right. It's a result of regeneration is a result of God's grace. Because he's gracious to us, he's given us the opportunity to be regenerated. So, and just to put it in terms that we all came up with it, you got to be saved. and you need the Holy Ghost. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You got to confess your faults, your sins. You got to be baptized, which we taught on that. And in the Spirit, you got to be filled with the Holy Ghost if you want to be regenerated, if you want to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, this guy here, he's really missing the whole point about what Jesus is trying to tell him. He's saying, you know, all of these things that you hold on to, what are those things? It's the same thing we saw in the Old Testament and with the rules and stuff that he gave Israel not to intermingle. Solomon, not to take all these strange wives because they worship idol gods. And with that, now, this is kind of a sidebar, but we're talking about this man here and not being willing to let go of his riches. Those things have become idols to him. Those are the things that he considers valuable. Those are the things that he considers important. Those are the things that he puts his time and effort into cultivating, into growing, into maturing, not things that are going to last him eternally. Now, you're asking for eternal life, but you're not willing to do what God is telling you you have to do in order to get eternal life because we're so asphyxiated on what we see in the natural. But then the question that I ask people all the time is, when we talk about eternal life, how long is forever? Do you know how long forever is? And I had a young lady debate with me, and she came with all of these other theologies and all of these doctrines. Well, Anthony, have you read this? And what about this? And I told her, what you have to understand and fight against the devil trying to deceive you is that everything that we stand upon is based on faith.
Well,
our whole walk is based on faith. Go ahead.
I wanted to ask a question or interject something because we were talking about this, but this was something that came to my mind just the other day about when I was thinking about, and when you were talking about regeneration before, it says, you know, we have to be generated, it comes from the Lord. But then I thought about this the other day about us knowing, you know, we know God. We say we know God. But then my question is, does God really know us? And the reason why I said that, because I began to think about the scripture that says, you know, Lord, didn't I do this in your name? Didn't I do that in your name? This, and this. And the Lord said, he said, but I never knew you. So it's mm-hmm. a part of him getting to know us is that regeneration process that we go through that connects our spirit, the spirit, his spirit within us that causes him to know us. I'm throwing mm-hmm. this out there.
Yeah, I think that's great. That's great. I mean, God has to know us, but how do now excluding what we know, but this kind of dumb it down a little bit. How do we get to know anybody? We got to spend time with them. Now we know God, as I mentioned, he knows everything, but if you want to get to know me, or I want to get to know you, I have to. Say I want to get to know you, but you don't never make yourself available for me to hang out, to talk to you. You don't make yourself available, so I won't know you. So that goes to exactly what you just said. Does God, we say we know God, but does God know us? So
well,
with the spiritual regeneration, go ahead.
Well, I was thinking about even the young man that you were talking about. He did all these things. He kept all the rituals, but God really didn't know him.
Right.
Or he really didn't know God. It's one thing to keep up the rituals, but it's another thing to really know him, or for him to know you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think that's all a part of our process, even with the regeneration. It regenerates that in us, so that we can have that connection with God.
Right. And then the Bible says, you know, the young man went away sorrowful. So they didn't even try. Regeneration is the rebirth of our spirit, or our spiritual birth period. and it is absolutely necessary. And if you haven't experienced it, if anybody hasn't experienced it, I would just admonish you to get in the position of try to begin to seek and ask God for that spiritual birth. And, you know, yeah, we need to go to church. Yeah, we need to pay our tithes. Like Elder Bryson just said, we do all these ritualistic things, but are we the intimacy, are we making ourselves available for God to know us intimately? And are we seeking to know him intimately? That's the difference between knowing him and knowing him. And it's like, you know, I used to ask my son, do you know who Jesus is? He said, yeah, I know who Jesus is. I said, okay, you say you know who Jesus is, but do you know him? You see what I'm saying? So you can know my name and say, oh, that's Anthony, but that doesn't mean you know me. The only means of regeneration is by faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. No amount of good works or keeping of the law can regenerate our hearts. By works of the law, no human can be justified in God's sight. And you can check that out, Romans 3:20. Only Christ offers a cure for total depravity of the human heart. We don't need renovation. We don't need reformation. We don't need reorganization. We need rebirth. Regeneration.
Amen.
Amen. So at this point, I'm going to open it up to whoever else is on the call for comments, questions, revelation, anything you want to add, any questions or comments, anything the Lord has personally. Well, let's say this. How about this? Is there anybody that is willing to share their personal rebirth, regeneration, being filled with the Spirit with everybody, that experience? Nobody? Well, let me share mine.
I was going to say I share mine.
I didn't hear you. Go ahead. I was going to say, well, there ain't none of the saints been reborn. We really need this teacher.
No, I was here when I think, you know, I was brought up in the church, and so that's where I was. I've been in church all my life, and when I was over, like I said, I was in the Baptist church to begin with, but I was brought up in church as a young girl, so I believe that I was saved. But then when the Lord began to deal with me, and I began to ask God about the Holy Ghost and about those things, and God began to deal with me and put me in places where that teaching was being taught as well. I believe when you ask God for things, he will answer you, and he will get you what you need to move forward. And so when I began to ask God or inquire of the Lord about, you know, the Holy Ghost, did I really need the Holy Ghost? Because, you know, you say, well, I don't need the Holy Ghost. I don't need it. Yes, I did. I did need it. And so then when I once found it out, it was like it was a process for me, because I went and I got rebaptized, and that was the one thing that happened, and I began to tarry for the Holy Ghost. But this is the one thing, and I'll inject this, is that, you know, people were telling me, say, oh, Denise, you're such a good person, and like the rich ruler, you're such a good person. You're going to get it. You're going to get it right away. No, I didn't. It was a whole month before I really received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I remember even Sister Doc on the phone, I tell this all the time, her and Sister Kathy were down praying with me one Sunday night. And they were praying with me, and I was tearing for the Holy Ghost. And I remember them getting up saying, she just got stammering lips. She ain't got it yet. And so I just kept on praying and kept on praying, but I did not give up because I really wanted to be, I wanted the Holy Ghost, and I wanted that next level where God, I think I was already saved. I don't think it was a point that I wasn't saved because I had accepted, I believed that the Lord, that God had raised him from dead. I had that down, but I needed the Holy Ghost. That was a separate step. And so I needed the Holy Ghost, and I just kept going. And I remember that one Sunday night we had a Blood of Jesus service. And we were in that service, and we had a prayer line. And everybody was in the prayer line. I was way in the back. And I just remember, because at the time I needed a job as well, making more money. I had a job, but it wasn't making much money. And I needed another job. And all the way up that line, I wrestled between two things. I kept telling myself, I said, I need the Holy Ghost, but then I need a job. I need the Holy Ghost. I need a job. And right when it got up there to me, I just told myself, I'm going to ask for a job. Because he said, get in your mind what you want God to do. And I was going to ask for the job. As soon as I stepped up, he said, what you want Lord to do? And I said, I want the Holy Ghost. And that night, I received the Holy Ghost. And it was an interesting thing. I had a woman that worked with me, Sister Gooch. And she was telling me about how when she was trying to get the Holy Ghost and her mom, she kept seeing her mother. It seemed like every time her mother came in the room, she got distracted. But she said something. She said, but one day I pictured Jesus ascending into heaven. And she said, and then the Holy Ghost fell on me. And I remember her saying that to me. And that day, I was there, and they prayed for me, and they laid hands on me, and I saw Jesus ascending to heaven. This is what I saw, visually saw this. And then the Holy Ghost fell on me. I was filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's my experience.
Amen. At that point, you were regenerated.
Yes.
Amen. You know, there's a couple of other references when you do your study. Like if we look at John, 1 John chapter 1, in verse 12, it says, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So in order to become sons of God, this is what we have to do. We want to be sons of God. We want to be children of God, right?
Definitely.
Yes.
Yes, we do. You know, I'd like to add that for support, I'd like to add a scripture, but begin in this matter. We all need to come to a point, and I believe Elder Denise said this, that some feel that the young man that you were talking about that said, what lack I yet, some people think that he was arrogant in making a statement like that. But look at it this way. Maybe he felt that he did all that he could physically, as far as believing in God and as far as religion, and had gotten to the point where he said, something is missing. You know what?
Right.
We all need to come to a point, and I believe just like we've been saying at the beginning, it's a process. And the Lord leads us to this process that we might grow and come into a mind and a heart to trust him, because he recognizes our trust, because true truth is honesty. He knows you've changed. He knows you really want him when you come to a place where you are repentant and said, I don't know what else to do. What is there left for me to do? And then he said this in John, the book of John 16, when he was talking to his own disciples, and we'll start at the 7th verse. You have to know that in this scripture, they were getting sad because he had to leave. He said, I got to go. And, you know, it's it's funny that we always want to keep something with us on this earth that we think puts us in a position where we're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about men putting you up on a pedestal.
Right.
Or the things around the church, you know, oh, but I have a prestigious church here. I don't ever want to lose it. You should be of the mind, if I lose it, God's still able. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But it says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's the 16th chapter, started at the 7th verse. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness. He'll take away your filthy rag, for our righteousness is a filthy rag. And of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. The thing that you look at is this. For him to do this, and for the Comforter, when we talk of the Comforter, we're talking about the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't send it, you're not reproved, you're not restored, you're not regenerated.
Right.
And he wants to reprove you, regenerate you, give you a chance. And with that, he says, and I want to reprove you of judgment. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are what? In Christ Jesus.
Right.
And let's look at the 11th verse. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. He's going to judge that Satan, that one that wants to deceive you and that pretty much operates the sin in the world. So this generation, this regeneration is needful, necessary, because without the Comforter, without the Holy Ghost, we won't even recognize what God is, what true love is, what true spirit is. We have to go back to what you were teaching before, Elder Poston, when God told Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but
right.
that which is born of the spirit is spirit.
Yeah.
And if you want to connect with God, which is a spirit, you got to become spiritual.
Right.
Amen.
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 You know, when you was reading that, the Lord took me to this. I'm in John chapter 7. I'm going to just read it and believe God's going to make it all connect. John chapter 7, we're going to start at verse 14. Right, just keep all of what you just put in that pot, keep it simmering because it's just going to add a little season to it. He says, now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? And Jesus answered them and said, and this is what I'm saying to all of y'all, the naysayers. My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. Regeneration is not our doctrine, but it's God, and God sent us so that you can be exposed to truth. Like Elder Doc was just saying, maybe the young guy was saying he did all that he knew to do. And it wasn't that he was being arrogant, but if we haven't been exposed, how can we know that there's more?
Amen, hallelujah.
And the saints went silent. Amen. And my point on that is, even us. Elder Bryson just gave her testimony about her rebirth. She was Baptist, but then she was exposed to that there was something else that she needed. That's my point. And this is not what we got together and decided we were going to make up and teach. This is not our doctrine. This is the word of God. This is what God is saying is required. I hope that, you know, adds some clarity to it.
It's because everybody needs spiritual birth. You know, we already had a physical birth. That's why we're here. So we have to have that spiritual birth so that we can be that we can be able to even think about going to the kingdom. You know what I'm saying? Even think about making having eternal life. We have to have that spiritual birth.
And it's our job when we've been regenerated to take what God has given us, what God has taught us, and present it and teach it so that other people who may not have ever been exposed to it can then be exposed to the truth and begin to see the need. And then that's how the kingdom begins to grow. So it's important, absolutely necessary. Thank God for it. Does anybody else have any other comments? I don't know how many people are on the line, but
well, one thing I could say, Elder Poston, if I may, one thing that the Lord really looks at is sincerity, because sincerity comes straight from the heart. I'll even go as far as to say sincerity is truth. When you're sincere, you're truly truthful. And coming from your heart. And that's where the Lord wants every word that he speaks to you, everything that he does for you, he wants it to be held right in your heart. When the scriptures say that, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know that when the Holy Ghost comes, truly comes, it brings with it truth and sincerity of heart. We don't even know how to love until the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you.
Exactly.
That's what regeneration does. It brings sincerity and truth. You can't lie about it when it's in you, because it's going to come. Amen.
Yes. And, you know, it's in the, well, I was telling you guys about the young lady that was talking to me, and as I began, you know, to really listen to what she was saying, and it was almost like, you, if you've ever had a conversation with anybody that would listen to what you're saying to find a, either find a loophole or to come to dispute it from a different position. And I began to listen to her, and that she grew up in church. She said her mama was saved. She came up in church, but she experienced some hurts along the way. And so then she opened herself up to start looking for another answer. And she was like, she was telling me she just, you know, she just, you know, likes to know about it, and she was curious about it because, you know, almost like she said she wanted some proof. Well, how do you know that? Proof. I said, well, you need to be careful. And my heart kind of got heavy with that, because I told her, I said, it's one thing to have a healthy hunger to know more of God, but then there's another thing to allow curiosity to take you somewhere that you're not supposed to go. An example, I told her, I said, go back to the garden. They had already been given the truth. And curiosity, if I can use that, had them going after something trying to validate or become something when truth was already there. I don't know if y'all follow me or not, but it just kind of broke my heart that somebody had been saved and in church, and then because of the ups and downs of life, instead of running to God, began to question God.
But those are the things, like you were talking about the word curiosity. Curiosity is what moves most people into sin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Say that again.
So they dive into things.
No.
What it is.
Right.
Curiosity goes along with that man is drawn away by his own what?
Lust.
Yeah.
They also say curiosity killed the cat.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The doctor said curiosity killed the cat.
Yeah.
But you know what? What I run into a lot is everybody wants knowledge. They want the wisdom. They want the truth. And they'll go to great lengths to get it. And they want the Word of God proven on every angle. But one thing I told my son, I said, you know what? But it comes a time where you just got to trust him.
Mm.
Because he's God.
Yeah.
Is that confirmation of what you was teaching this afternoon?
That's what we were teaching this afternoon. We just got to trust him. Because he's got a purpose and a plan for our lives. And that's
yes,
the thing. And if we trust him, he will navigate us through it, even though it might not look like, you know, it's working out, but it ends up working out because he is in control. And I think
mm-hmm.
if we realize that God is in control, then the rest of it we won't be so, you know, and we all get that way. I mean, everybody gets that way at some point in life. But if we can keep mm-hmm. enough in the forefront of our mind that God is in control, no matter what it looks like, God is in control. He's working it out on my behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he is. Hallelujah.
He had already worked this thing out with the regeneration and with salvation. God worked it out. He didn't need none of our
right.
help to do it.
No.
He had already put a plan in place. He already did it. He had already put a plan in place. We were already saved. What we have to do is accept it.
That's
yes.
it.
We have to accept the rebirth in our spirit. We have to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
So let me interject something. Because you said we have to accept it. And further in my conversation with her, she was giving her testimony about, you know, being sick. And, you know, her mother kept saying, you ain't sick, you healed. And she's like, no, I really don't feel good. And I said, well, the difference there when we talk about it, and in the scope of everything, is, you know, there are facts, and then there is truth.
Right.
And curiosity draws you to go after facts.
Yeah.
Faith and trust allows you to stand on truth.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only come to that place of trusting and just believe it, like you said, once you've been regenerated.
Yeah. Because if you think about it,
fact,
it, the doctor's report might be a fact, but the truth is
right.
his word said by his stripes, with his stripes I'm healed.
Right.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
The truth.
So we got to stand on the truth if we want to see the healing.
Right.
So the big point in this, amen, and the big point in this discussion is that regeneration exposes truth.
Yes.
Yes, it does. Yes, it turns the light on, don't it? Don't it turn the light on?
It turns the light on.
Yes.
If you didn't know, now you know.
Yes.
Right.
Beautiful.
Thou art inexcusable.
Yeah. I thank the Lord for this discussion. We have been on a journey throughout this past year of doing foundational teaching. We started out with God's love for us, and we went on through salvation and several topics we've hit over the time. And, you know, sometimes we think we can just teach these and go on, but we can't. We have to dig into them, dive into them, and really try to understand. I mean, we can't eat. Our thoughts are not his thoughts are way above our thoughts and all of that. And so we're just touching the surface of it, but we're trying to bring forth an understanding so that people can have a foundation to stand upon so that they can live a godly life. Because it takes you knowing God and knowing his word to be able to do that. You just can't go to church on Sunday and think that's going to be sufficient. That's why we have Bible study. That's why prayer is a recommendation. All of these things are recommendations to getting to know God, because we have to have this intimate relationship with him if we really, really, really want to know him. And that's what Jesus was telling Nicodemus. Yeah, you got all the others. You got the rituals down packed, but you got to be reborn. You got to be born again. And so that is what regeneration was talking about, is us being born again and us coming into that spiritual place and that spiritual intimacy. God is a spirit. So we got to have the spirit in order to be able to get to know God and for him to know us.
Right.
And so these are the things that we have to understand. I'm so thankful for Elder Poston and him studying the word of God and bringing forth these lessons over the last three sessions that we've had. And I'm so thankful for that. And I know next week, Elder Dotson, I mean, because we could really stay on regeneration, but we're going to go. Elder Dotson is going to teach on glorification. He's going to begin that teaching, and he'll do that till the end of June. And then we're going to start on teaching about the Holy Ghost, and we're going to go into that and dive into that, into a deeper place with that. And we're just excited about all that, because we really, 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 our goal is for people to be saved and people to be filled with the Holy Ghost and begin to live a life according to the will of God, and even to strengthen the saints. We have to be strengthened as well. That's why it's important for us to keep being taught the word of God, keep reading the word of God, stay in prayer, stay in fasting. We have to do those things to keep us. That's us feeding our spirit man. You feed your flesh, and that's how you stay nourished, how your body stays nourished. You take vitamins. You know, you drink protein shakes. You take a vitamin B12 if you want some energy. You take vitamin fish oil if you want your heart. You know, all of these different things you use to nourish your body. And so these things are the things that nourish our spirit man. Fish oil ain't going to nourish our spirit man. But that oil that comes from the Holy Ghost will nourish. And so these are the things we need. And that oil, that water, that washing of the word of God that washes us clean, those are the things that we need to keep our spirit man strong. And the one that you want to be the strongest is your spirit man, not your flesh.
Yes.
You don't want your flesh to be the strongest. It's all right for you to lift weights, and maybe you can bench press 300, or maybe you can bench press 350. But I'm telling you, you better let your spirit be bench press 500 or more, because you want your spirit man to be strong. You want it to be well connected to God, because you want to make it to the kingdom of heaven. At the end of the day, when it's all said and done, like the song said, what do you want the Lord to say? I want him to say, well done, my God, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And so those are the things we want God to say. That is the purpose for these teachings. The purpose for this broadcast is to bring people closer to God, and that they will learn and know what the word of God says for their life. I'm just so excited about the broadcast and us continuing on and us being faithful. And, you know, I'm not sure. Sometimes we may never know the impact. But what we do know is that we are planting and we are watering. And we know that God will give the increase. And so we pray that that whoever needs the word of God will always be able to hear it, and they will be able to find it, and it will reach them. They might not hear it till later, but we don't care, long as you get the word of God that will cause your soul to be blessed and your spirit man to be fed. And so with that being said, I think I would like for Elder Poston to extend the invitation. And then if Elder Dodson would pray us out, I would be so excited about that. And then we will see you back here next week this same time. And Elder Dodson is going to be teaching on glorification, which is going to take us closer. Just it's, all of this is feeding us right into the teaching about the Holy Ghost, because all of this is teaching. So it's amazing to, and I didn't even think of it when we were doing these last two as the last two, that they were taking us onto that journey. So I'm just so excited about it. And so, Elder Poston.
Amen. Thank the Lord. Is there anybody who is out there who is wrestling within yourself about whether to seek or to surrender your life over to God? That wrestling point in the state that you're in right now is really God drawing you to Him. And so I would offer you Jesus Christ and ask you to surrender in to the pull of the tugging on your heart and allow God to come in and be the Lord of your life. All you have to do is confess your sins. You know, believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He came to earth, that He was crucified, He was buried, and He arose for you. And then ask the Lord to come into your heart, and He will do just that. And then you will begin this marvelous thing that you hear us talking about, of experiencing the regeneration or the spiritual birth or just being saved. It just sounds good just to say I'm saved. And I'm going to pray with you right now, just briefly. Father God, in the name of Jesus, anybody out there that you are drawing, oh Lord God, we ask you, oh Lord God, to give them the courage that they need to surrender and trust you with their lives, oh Lord God. And give us the insight and the revelation to see beyond our life is just what we have in the natural, God. But eternity is forever, God, and we want to spend that time with you, Lord God. Encourage them, continue to draw them, continue to tug on them. Lord God, I pray that they don't have no rest, Lord God, but continue to make the prick them, oh Lord God, until they come to a place where they surrender to you and they give their heart over to you. And Lord God, even though hearing this prayer, it may sound a little off to them, oh Lord God, that I would ask you to do that, God, but on the other side of that surrendering, Lord God, there will be joy and peace in the Holy Ghost, oh Lord God, and there will be souls added to the kingdom, God. Lord God, touch them. Lord God, and even if they haven't made the final commitment, God, I pray, oh Lord, that you dispatch angels to watch over them, oh Lord God. I pray, oh Lord God, when they turn on the TV that they will hear a message of you drawing them. I pray, oh Lord God, when they turn on the radio that they will hear your voice calling them. I pray, oh Lord God, if they're in the grocery store, if they're going to work, oh God, that they would hear you drawing them and continue to draw them, Lord God, till they surrender all to you and give their life over to God. And for those of you who are in that position, I guarantee you that it will be the best surrender that you have ever made. So we invite you to Jesus Christ to save you, to deliver you, to set you free, to heal you, and to make you whole. God, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now, Lord, cover these that hold your word dear, that hold your word precious. We plead the blood over the teachers, the warriors of the word. Lord, cover them with your blood. And over the hearers of your word, cover them with your blood. Protect them, Lord, and encourage them. Encourage our hearts to be sincere, to be sensitive, and to receive all that you have to give us and all that you have for us. For we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. Lord, we bless you, we praise you, and we magnify you, and we'll love you forever. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Don't forget to join us here next week. We're going to start teaching on glorification. God bless you all, and may the heavens shine upon you. Amen. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.